And I read a story a few years ago, and I got to thinking about this, this last week, about Santa Claus showing up to a man and explaining how Christ is all through, or symbolized all through the Christmas decorations. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And if you've never thought about it, I want you to really take it in, and it would be even a great way to sit down with your kids around your own Christmas tree and explain how the Christmas tree represents Christ, and Christmas is just an expansion of who He really is. Well, let's pray as we get into it. Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that was willing to come to this earth, was willing to go through all that He did, and was willing to give His life that we might have life. Father, I have to admit that's love beyond my comprehension. But You loved us that much, and we thank You for that. We thank You for the opportunity that we have tonight, Father, to open up Your Word and to look at the Christ child that came and what all He did for us and what Christmas really, truly represents. And I just ask, Father, that Your hand would be upon me tonight and that Your anointing would be upon me. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To kind of get you into the feeling of this story, I'm going to read quite a bit of this story and make some comments as we go through here. And if you have a pen and paper, you may even want to write some of these things down, because like I said, it is very intriguing. It says, "This is how it happened. I just finished the household chores for the night and was preparing to go to bed when I heard a noise in the front room. I opened the door to the front room, and to my surprise, Santa himself stepped out from behind the Christmas tree. He placed his finger over his mouth so I would not cry out. 'What are you doing?' I started to ask, but I got choked up, and he saw the tears in my eyes. His usually jolly manner was gone. Gone was the eager, boisterous soul we know. And then he answered me with a simple statement, 'Teach the children.'" Now, folks, how many times does the Bible tell us to teach the children? And at Christmas time, we kind of let, I think, the real meaning of Christmas bypass us. Even us as Christians, yes, we have it here at church, but I think we need to bring it into our homes and really make sure that our children understand what Christmas is all about. And there's nothing wrong with letting them pretend there's a Santa and all of that. But we also need to make sure that they really understand that Christmas is about Christ, the Savior. This man goes on and says, "I was puzzled. What did he mean? Santa anticipated my question and with one quick movement brought forth a miniature toy bag from behind the tree. As I stood bewildered, Santa said, 'Teach the children the true meaning of Christmas, the meaning that has been long forgotten.' He reached into his bag and pulled out a fir tree and placed it on the mantle. Santa said, 'The fir remains green all year round, depicting the everlasting hope of mankind.'" See, we can even take the Christmas tree and point our children to Christ. And if you look at a fir tree, all of the needles on it even point up. And the Bible tells us that our thoughts should be what? Heavenly thoughts. So again, we can take something very simple, something very basic, something that probably every one of us have in our home, and use that to teach our children more about Christ. He again reached into his bag and pulled out a brilliant star. And he said, "Teach the children that the star was the heavenly sign of a promise long ago. God promised a Savior of the world, and the star was a sign of fulfillment of His promise." Now again, we read the story about the wise men coming from the east. But have you ever thought about the rest of the world? They had to be able to see that star as well. And the Bible tells us that it was bright and that it was brilliant and that it outshone all of the other stars. And people had to be standing around talking about, you know, what does that mean? Now I understand they didn't have all the telescopes and stuff like that that we have today, but I can't help but believe that the people back then studied that star to the very best of their ability. They knew that something was going on. And to us today, that star is the symbol of the fulfillment of God's promise to us. When that star landed and stopped right over Bethlehem, that was a great moment for us because it symbolized that the Christ child was here and God's promise of salvation was fulfilled. Santa then reached into his bag and pulled out a candle. And he said, teach the children that the candle symbolizes that Christ is the light of the world. He said, also teach them that our lives should reflect this light to all men. Again, I'm sure all of us here have a Christmas candle in our house, sitting on the table, sitting on a snack bar, maybe sitting somewhere. And it's a pretty decoration, but we need to let the children know that there's definitely a message about Christ in there also. And the next thing that Santa pulled out of his bag was a wreath, and he placed it on the tree. And he said, teach the children that the wreath symbolizes the real nature of love, that love never ceases. And of course, we hear that a lot at weddings, don't we? They take a wedding ring and they talk about the never-ending circle of love. But again, in the Christmas decorations that we have around our house, that symbol of love is right there, that never-ending circle. And the Bible clearly tells us that love never ceases. And I like what this author said. He even put in there that love is one continuous round of affection. And then Santa pulled from his bag an ornament of himself. And he said, teach the children that I simply symbolize the generosity and good that we feel during this season. Now, what did the Bible say about when Christ came? It said, peace, goodwill toward men. Folks, we can even take Santa and teach them about the love of Christ. It's very simple. And then he said, he brought out a holly leaf and he said, teach the children that the holly plant represents immortality. It represents the crown of thorns worn by our Savior, and the red holly represents the blood shed by him. I had never thought of it in that way. I've seen holly bushes all my life, and I had never really thought about the crown of thorns and the red representing the blood of Christ. But again, something that we have around us all Christmas season long can point our hearts toward Christ if we're really looking for it. And again, it's a great way to teach our kids. Next, he pulled from his bag a gift. And he said, teach the children that God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son. And the message that I had planned to preach this morning talks about the indescribable gift that God gives us. And again, when we're sitting down for Christmas, it wouldn't hurt if we took a few moments and we talked to our children about the indescribable gift that God has given us. You can describe every single gift that you can purchase here on earth. In fact, the manufacturers spend a lot of money paying people to describe it to the point that you want it. I was telling somebody this morning, or it was tonight, somebody talking about my car kind of dragging on the back end right now. And I said, well, in the message that God had first given me this morning, it talked about different gifts that you can buy. One of those was a $580,000 Jaguar. Any volunteers? Okay, maybe not. But in that advertisement, it gave a description of that car. And that might be kind of mind-boggling to us, but folks, you can still describe a gift of that magnitude. But how do you describe God's love for us? How do you describe Him wanting us in His family, that He was willing to send His Son, and that Jesus was willing to come and to live and to die and to literally go into the pits of hell and take our punishment? That is an undescribable gift. He said also about giving, to teach the children that the wise men bowed before the holy babe, and that they presented Him with gold and frankincense and myrrh, and that we too should bow before the babe, and that we should present ourselves as gifts unto the Savior, and that when we give gifts, we should give in the same spirit that the wise men did, to honor and to express love. And I hope when you give a gift, that's why you give it. And that's one reason, and from my own personal standpoint, I'll put it this way, because I don't try to push this off on anybody else. But Diane and I are very modest in our Christmas giving, because I want them to know it's about the love behind the gift, not the excessiveness of the gift. And that's, like I said, that's only my viewpoint on it. But I want them to know it is about the love, not about just getting the gifts. And then Santa pulled out of his bag a candy cane. I've done some study on the candy cane, and I'm going to try to recall as much of it as I can, but the man that designed the candy cane did it as a witnessing tool. His entire purpose behind the candy cane was that he could talk to people about Jesus Christ by giving them one of the candy canes. It is made out of pure white hard candy. The whiteness represents the purity of Christ, the holiness of Christ. The hardness represents that He is the solid rock. And by the way, it's not a candy cane. It's actually the letter J, representing the name, the letter of the first name of Jesus. See, we always look at it as a candy cane, but it's actually a J. The stripes on it, there's a bold, wide red stripe, represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. The small stripes on there represents the scourging that He went through as He was being tried and getting ready to go to the cross. So folks, there's a whole lot more behind that than we look at times, isn't there? And if you've got a candy cane in your house, I strongly recommend you sit your children down and explain to them what that represents. I promise you they will remember that for the rest of their life. And again, we need to let them know that it's not just a candy cane, but that it was designed solely for the purpose of being a witness of Jesus. And then Santa reached into his bag again and pulled out an angel. And he said, teach the children that it was the angels that heralded in the glorious news of the Savior's birth. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And I couldn't help but think, as I was thinking about that, you know, we know the story of how the angel appeared unto the shepherds out in their fields. And I don't really believe anybody else around them heard the verbal sounds of the angels, but I believe they heard something. You can't have a choir of angels like they were talking about and it not be heard other places. And it's just like when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the other people saw the light and they heard the voice, but they couldn't distinguish it. And in this case, I believe that it was heard strictly by the shepherds. But folks, what a grand entry Jesus made into this earth, that a host of angels proclaimed His glad birth. Finally, Santa looked back, and he was pleased. He had that twinkle back in his eye, and he said again, remember to teach the children the true meaning of Christmas, and do not put me at the center. Folks, if you stop and think about it, without Christ, there is no Christmas. Without Christ, there is no reason for this season. And I know that the secular people are trying to make us start saying happy holidays. It's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. How would you like it if on your birthday somebody walked up to you and said, happy holidays? Meaningless, isn't it? And yet it seems so subtle, and yet we get drawn into that at times. We need to make sure that we tell people Merry Christmas. And when we're going through the lines at the different stores, even the grocery stores, we need to say Merry Christmas to the people in the line. And I think we even need to emphasize the word Christ, because it is all about Him. Again, there's nothing wrong with the decorations. There's nothing wrong with putting up a tree and decorating the tree and having the lights outside of our houses and having all of the family get-togethers. But folks, in all honesty, we can get together with our family anytime. When we get together for Christmas, we need to make sure that we're all focused on Christ. I truly believe that that's something that we as Christians have lost, is that we've gotten kind of drawn in to society's message about what Christmas is, and we've kind of let it slip, and our kids don't understand the importance of Christ in Christmas. I'm going to encourage you this year to sit down before you start opening up the packages and to read the Christmas story and to remind the children and to remind ourselves what Christmas is all about. And it really wouldn't even hurt if you sang Happy Birthday, Jesus. It's His birthday. It's not about the gifts and the trees. It's about Jesus Christ and the things that we've mentioned here. I find it fascinating myself that so many of them are symbolic of Christ. And I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about that before. I had thought about some of them. Some of these were brand new to me. But they all represent Christ in one way or another. And as we go through this season, we definitely want to make sure that we keep our eyes upon the focus of this season. And that is Christ. And that is the reason for Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for this time of the year. We thank You for this season. And God, I just pray that You would help us as Christians to truly keep at the forefront of our thinking what it's all about, that Christ is the only reason for this season. Without Him, there is not a Christmas. And God, I pray that You'd help us that when we get our families together, that we would take time to give You praise and glory and honor for sending Your Son to die for our sins, and that we would take time to teach the children what Christmas is all about. And God, I just pray that You would help us to keep Christ at the very forefront of our thinking every single day. And Father, help us to understand that our lives are here to bring You glory and to bring You honor and to be about Your business. And I just pray, Father, that You would continue to lead us and continue to guide us, that You would give us opportunities this holiday season to be able to minister to people, that something would come up in a conversation that we could bring up the name of Christ and we could share with them the testimony that we have been saved because of Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.